Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to H2 FY26 earnings conference call of Matson Agro India Limited, hosted by Kirin Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shakhi Banjara from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to Ms. Banjara.
Good day. Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the H2 FY26 conference call of Matson Agro India Limited. From management team, we have Mr. Ayush Jain, Promoter, Chairman, and Managing Director. Mr. Pulkit Jain, Promoter and Non-Executive Director. Mr. Nitin Garg, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Rupal Saxena, Compliance Officer and Company Secretary. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Ayush Jain for opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is my privilege to address you all today. For those joining us for the first time, I would like to give a quick brief about Matson Agro India Limited. Matson Agro is engaged in processing raw cashew nuts into market-ready cashew kernels for both domestic and international market. The company also markets dry fruit under its consumer brand called Royal Meva, while steadily building an integrated and value-driven cashew processing ecosystem. Matson Agro is also part of a broader Matson Group ecosystem, which has established presence across agro commodities, international trade, and sourcing networks, providing the company with strong institutional experience, global procurement linkages, and operational depth. This is our first earnings call since our listing last December, and we are delighted to share our journey so far, along with our performance for the financial year ended 31st March 2026. As we speak today, just a few moments after our successful listing on BSE SME platform in December, I am reminded of why we started Matson Agro. In the world of agriculture, many see only commodities. We saw a gap, a need for a sophisticated, integrated, and a reliable bridge between massive cashew farms of West Africa and the rapidly evolving palate of the Indian consumer. Our successful IPO, through which we raised 74.45 crores, is being primarily utilized towards setting up of our second processing facility in Vijayanagaram, Andhra Pradesh, supporting the company's next phase of growth and capacity expansion. The fiscal year ending 31st March 2026 has been a period of profound testing and equally profound triumph. As many of you know, the cashew industry is historically fragmented and volatile. This year, we navigated a complex geopolitical landscape in West Africa, our primary sourcing hub, sourcing nearly 60% of our raw cashew nuts from countries like Côte d'Ivoire and Guinea-Bissau. Isn't about logistics. It's about managing a thousand moving parts. We faced fluctuating freight costs, shifting export policies in origin countries, and unpredictable rhythms of nature. At the same time, despite concerns around geopolitical tensions in the Middle East, our operations and supply chain remained largely unaffected. While the group has an international sourcing and trading presence, Matson Agro's core operations, leadership, and strategic decision-making continue to be anchored in India, with our headquarters based in New Delhi. Our diversified sourcing model and operational structure helps us navigate global uncertainties with stability and continuity. However, our response to these challenges defines our business moat. We don't just buy from the market. We source at the farm gate. By maintaining deep relationships with local buying agents across several producing countries, we have built a supply chain that does not break when the wind changes. This year, our 18,000 metric ton facility in Andhra Pradesh operated at a staggering 86% utilization capacity, a testament to our ability to keep the wheels turning when others face supply crunches. Our strategy for the future is built on scale and sustainability. We have embarked on an ambitious greenfield expansion to take our capacity to 70,000 metric tons by FY2030. This isn't just for growth for the sake of volumes. It's about achieving a near-zero waste ecosystem. Furthermore, our brand Royal Meva is no longer just a pilot project. It grew over 6.5 times this year. we are witnessing a demographic shift where Gen Z and millennials are looking for healthy, branded and transparently sourced snacks. By moving from a pure B2B model to a brand-led model, we are insulating Patsan from commodity price swings and building long-term equity with Indian households. We are operating in a perform or perish era, and Patsan is firmly in the perform category. I will now hand over to Mr. Pulkit Jain to take you through the numbers that reflect this operational grid.
Thank you, Ayush. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Ayush described the soul of our operations, and I will now present the engine that powers our business, our financial performance for the year and full year ended March 31, 2026. Transitioning into a publicly listed company mid-fiscal year was a transformative exercise for our finance team. It required us to align our internal cost controls with transparency expected by the public markets. I am pleased to report that we have emerged stronger. For the full year FY26, our total income grew by 37.19% year-on-year to 256.92 crores. EBITDA registered a healthy growth of 24.98%, while PAT increased by 21.4% year-on-year. What is particularly encouraging is that this growth has been achieved largely through operational efficiencies, market expansion, and disciplined execution, even before substantial benefits from the IPO proceeds started reflecting in the business. As the greenfield expansion progresses and the deployed capital begins contributing meaningfully to production and efficiencies, we believe the company is entering a much stronger growth phase ahead. This revenue growth wasn't accidental. It was driven by a deliberate dual engine strategy. On one side, our institutional B2B business provided the high volume foundation, serving large confectioneries and snack manufacturers. On the other, our distribution-led model expanded to over 170 distributors across 20-plus states, allowing us to capture better margins in the retail-facing segments. Let us now dive into the second half and full-year FY26 financial performance. For H2 2026, our total income grew by 37.38% year-on-year to 138.5 crore. EBITDA registered a healthy growth of 18.7%, while net profit increased by 8.97% year-on-year. While H2 saw some margins compression due to a spike in raw cashew nuts prices, forex, and global shipping disruptions, we maintained a double-digit EBITDA margin for the full year. As far as effect utilization is concerned, we have managed to sweat our assets efficiently with an 86% utilization rate, ensuring that our fixed costs are spread over larger volume of output. One of the key financial developments during the year has been the planned deployment of our IPO proceeds. As of the end of this March, we have already committed 39.53 crore via purchase orders of our greenfield expansion project. This project will be a key growth driver from H2 FY27 onwards and into FY28. Here, I would like to emphasize that we are not just building a factory. We are building a high-margin automated processing hub that will significantly lower our per-unit conversion costs. Talking about our balance sheet, it continues to remain healthy with a net worth of 136.03 crore. Our prudent financial position and comfortable debt-to-equity levels provide us with the flexibility to support future growth initiatives and execute our long-term expansion plans. In conclusion, the current business environment, bolstered by the Union Budget 26-27, focus on domestic cashew processing. It is the most favorable we have seen in a decade. We have the capacity, we have the brand, and now we have the capital. We are moving into FY2027 with a clear focus on margin expansion and brand penetration. With that, I conclude my remarks. Thank you all for your trust in Patsan Agro. We are now open for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Aditya Mehta, individual investor. Please go ahead. Aditya, may I request you to unmute your line and proceed with your question, please?
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Since it's your first call post-listing, can you help investors understand what differentiates Paxton from other cash processors in India? And is it just beyond scale or some other parameters as well?
Okay. Hi, Aditya, and thank you for your question. So, Paxton Agro, our moat is, our sourcing capabilities, which have been developed over the last 13 years. We have been, one of our, companies which is operated by Mr. Pulkit Jain, has been sourcing raw cashew nuts from various African origins, where we have developed farmer linkages, we have set up local cooperatives and local buying agents through which we are doing the procurement, and then bringing the material to India in the most effective way.
Also, sir, one more question. How much of the new capacity that you're talking about is already backed by customers, like orders, or is there any volume visibility from our existing institutional clients?
No. So we don't have any existing orders because these institutional customers, they give you visibility only for the visibility ranges from 1 month to sometimes 3 months. So we are still away from that period. However, I would like to share that, our revenue is coming nearly 78% from our existing customers, which highlights that, there is a very high demand for our product in the market and we are not able to cater to new customers. So with the new capacities coming in, it will help us in increasing our volumes with the current customers as well as increase our width of distribution.
Okay, thank you, sir. And one more question. Receivables have increased during the year, so any views on that side?
Aditya, sorry, you're not clear.
Can you hear me now properly?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so receivables have increased. So is it due to business cycle or are we offering credit terms?
No, so last financial year and this financial year, actually in the March of last financial year, we had shut down our plant for increasing our capacity, and due to which we were not processing and the entire material was sold off and the receivables were received. However, in FY26, our focus is on increasing our revenue with the institutional customers, and with institutional customers there is more credit involved, hence we are seeing that our trade receivables have increased.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vishwinder Singh from Prudent Equity. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Actually, I saw on your RHP that almost 96% of your raw material are received from a group company based in Dubai. So, what is your commentary during this West Asia crisis and war-related issues?
So, hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
So, you know, so this war-related issues and the shipping line disruptions, definitely it has disrupted some shipping routes of the Middle East and all. And as you rightly said, in the RHP, you know, we have been importing from a company in UAE. But, you know, as we all know and understand that the shipments are directly arriving from Africa to India. So that is why there is no disruptions or no impact due to the crisis in Middle East.
Okay, so can we assume the business as usual for us?
Yes, it is as usual, yes, for us.
Okay, got it. And can you also bifurcate the installed capacities for the last 3 years, for FY23, 24 and 25?
So, for FY23, 24, 25, we were, for FY23, we had an installed capacity of 8,500 metric tons. For FY24, we had an installed capacity of 12,000 metric tons. And for FY25, again, we had an installed capacity of 12,000 metric tons. In FY26, we expanded the capacity to 18,000 metric tons.
Okay, so considering the capacity was only like increased roughly by 40-50% between FY24 and 25. So how does the revenue almost doubled in like last 2 years, sir? And also margins have improved significantly.
Yeah. So you know, so basically, in November of 2023, you know, we went under a major technological transformation, wherein we upgraded our shelling machines and color sorters. And that helped us, you know, bring a lot of efficiencies into the system, wherein it improved the kernel recovery ratio, it improved our holes recovery as compared to pieces, grades recovery. You know, there was a lot of kernel contamination which was happening, and which was stopped completely. So, you know, these factors contributed to, you know, increase in our revenues, which significantly impacted our bottom line. Also, these machines were extremely high-end and, you know, very, very precise machines. Therefore, our cost at the cost level, our costs came down dramatically, you know, in terms of energy consumption and, you know, a lot of manual intervention was removed. So, therefore, you know, our profitability changed from there on. Yeah.
Okay, just a last question, sir. On your EBITDA margin, it has like declined from almost 18% in the first half and from 14% to what it is now. So, what can be the steady state EBITDA margin, sir, for going ahead for the company?
So, you know, we expect the margins to be steady. This, you know, dip in margin has also is primarily attributed towards movement of for you know forex dollar price in the last fiscal, wherein between the whole year the currency moved nearly 10.5% from its base of April of 2025. So you know that is the reason you know there is a dip in the margins that is seen.
Okay, so.
So if you see,
Please go ahead.
So saying, going forward, if you say, so, you know, we expect our EBITDA to be similar to around 15 to 16%.
For your raw material procurement or your selling?
We are unable to hear you. Can you repeat your question?
Hi, is it clear now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
I wanted to confirm, you mentioned that you face currency fluctuation risk. So is it on your raw material procurement side or your selling to your customer side?
It is towards the procurement side because we are importing raw material. So all these currencies affects risk differently impacts.
Just a last confirmation.
Yeah, can we come back for a follow-up question?
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, kindly limit yourself to two questions per participant and rejoin for a follow-up.
Next question is from the line of Aryan Ajmera from Holani Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. First of all, congratulations on your current financial results for FY 2026. So first of all, my question is, sir, could you tell me the status of the CAPEX that you introduced through IPO proceeding?
Yeah, so the status of the CAPEX is that, you know, so out of the funds that were raised, 57 crores is going towards the setting up of the new facility. 10.42 crores have gone towards general corporate purposes. Out of, for the new facility, you know, the POs that have already been issued to the vendors as of 31st March are around 39.5 crores. Advances that have been issued against those POs is around 10.5 crores. And the POs that we plan to issue in the first quarter of FY27 is around 20 to 25 crores.
Could you also tell me the current capital utilization of capacity utilization of FY 2026?
So FY 2026, our capacity utilization was 86%.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Lano Desha from Sapphire Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, you are audible.
Yes.
Yes, thank you so much for this opportunity. So, couple of questions. So, firstly, on this new capacity that is coming, this 35,000 metric tons. So, we are expecting commercial production from 3Q. What will be the peak revenue potential of this new capacity at optimal utilization?
So, our, you know, peak would be about 475 crores at 85% utilization rate.
So,
sir,
the peak
from
the
extra capacity. From the extra capacity.
Right. And this current capacity that we have, how much revenue can we get from this at optimal?
So, this year, you know, currently this year that we operated, so we expect another increment of about 20% from the current levels.
Okay, so 20% growth from the existing facility.
Yeah.
And correct. And how are you, can you just elaborate a bit more on how are we hoping to ramp up this new capacity? What sort of utilization will we look at for FY27? Because it's going to be only one quarter. So what will be the utilization then, and what sort of utilization are you targeting for FY28?
So for FY27, we look at commencing with trial production in November or December. So considering that, we will only have one quarter of operations. So I think we should look at somewhere around 15% of utilization, capacity utilization in FY27. Then in FY28, we are looking at 65 to 70% of capacity utilization, and then reaching at 85-90% utilization rate by the next fiscal.
Okay, and then, so because majority of the new capacity benefit will come in FY28, what sort of, are we expecting some margin increase because of operating leverage? So you guided for 15 to 16 for FY27. Going ahead in FY28, can we see improvement?
Yes, definitely we expect some improvements because of the scalability we are going to operate at.
So any sort of numbers, sir, that you're looking at?
Cannot give the exact numbers, but definitely a couple of percent.
And sir, what will be the total CAPEX for this new capacity that is coming?
So the total CAPEX for the new capacity is about 76 crores. And this is without the land. The land was already acquired by the company in the last fiscal.
Okay, that is it from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Disha. Next question is from the line of Nishan Gupta from Minerva Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sir, am I audible?
Yes, you.
Okay. Sir, you mentioned that the steady state margin you expect to be 15-16%. If you can deep dive a bit more, like what has been your sales realization, if you can quantify FY25 versus FY26 in maybe rupees per kg, rupees per ton. And then let us try to draw out a scenario. Let's say the West Asia crisis probably extends to another 3 to 6 months. What really happens to your margins then? And how do we see it going back to steady state? Like, do you do a price hike? Do you get the efficiency of scale? But I believe your new facility comes at the tail end of this year. So can you elaborate on this part, starting with the realization on this?
Our average realization, in terms of the RCN processed, was about 161.5 rupees per kg.
For FY26.
And FY25 was about 160 rupees.
Okay.
And as you said about this disruption, and if we take a scenario that, you know, this will continue. So as we see, you know, there is no direct impact on our supply chain from these crises. As the shipping route from Africa to India is not impacted at all with these disruptions. There could be only one possibility, like which we saw and which we see, that, you know, India could have a further forex currency devaluation. So that we have to consider this year, and for which, you know, we are already placing our risk mitigating policies. We are improvising them much better, as we have already faced this problem last year. So we have learned from that problem, and we are integrating policies to mitigate that risk further. So other than that, we don't see any further disruptions coming in to our business.
Got it. And is there any particular reason why not maybe pass on some increase on the realization front to offset the forex impact, which you said, you know, has been material? In first place, like, why didn't there was a hedge in the first place? Because, you know, your raw material entirely is imported, so why not have that hedge in place? Because dollar has any which way been appreciating over the past few years and to even further appreciate. So you can give some thoughts around this also.
Yes, so we have already, you know, started initiating some hedging processes also. So that is one of the best ways. And yes, we see, because, you know, this problem is for the entire industry, and we are seeing that some of this cost is being passed on to the customers also by increasing the sales price. So we think that is how it is going to balance it out itself.
Got it. So let's say from a March half year where we had an operating margin of 11% and going back to, let's say, 16%. So you see that the forex impact would account for the majority of it, and some bit of it would be the price.
Right. Exactly.
Got it. Fine, sir. I think I'll fall back in the queue. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Aryan Bhatia from InVed Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm on
it. For your audio stable.
So my first question is on our kernel yield. What is the current kernel yield we are getting? And second, on the realization, as you said, we have gone up to 160. So similar to that, we were doing around 120 rupees per kg. And it has now increased to 160 rupees per kg. So I just wanted to know the reason, what has led to the sharp increase in the revenue per kg.
So our average yields for the last year stood at about 24.57%, and our average realization was at about 161.48. Why did it increase from 120 to 161? There are primarily two reasons. The first being, as I mentioned, that our realization outputs increased once we did our technology upgradation. Second, it is also attributed towards the movement in prices of the commodities.
Got it. And second, so if you can provide me the realization we are getting on our burners, the 24% yield which we are getting on our burners. So what is the realization we are getting there and on the shell and waste as well, if you can provide separately?
Sorry, on the kernel basis, you asked.
We did not get your question. Can you please clarify your question again?
I just wanted to know what is the realization we are getting on the kernels, not on whole RTM, but on the kernels.
Okay.
On the kernel basis, it's about 660 rupees.
Okay, got it. Thanks. And second question is on our working capital. So I've seen that our working capital, especially inventory, has increased substantially in this financial year. So just wanted to know, what will be the normal working capital cycle, considering we are, you know, importing our raw materials from Africa?
So, you know, as I mentioned earlier, last year our inventory, this year our inventory increased as compared to last year, because last year our plant was shut. It was shut for expansion. That is why deliberately we had planned less inventory to be there, and also the finished goods were sold off. That is why the inventory was there. So this is something typically that you would see every year, this kind of an inventory. In terms of working capital requirement,
So inventory was like around to be like 38 crore this year, and debtors is around 18 crore as of now. And that increase, you see that it is because of last year the plant was shut down. So it's like basic level. We are at running it with now working capital, which is funded by debtors, creditors as well as. So we have creditors also 20 crore for this year, which was earlier it was 3 crore. So yeah, we can see a jump in creditors also.
So inventory payable, so trade payables for us stood at about 40 days. So, in the current system. So that is what we assume at the moment.
Got it. And so I just wanted to know, understand the key driver for the kernel prices. So what according to you is the key driver in increasing the realization for kernel prices? Currently we are getting 660 rupees per kg. So can we increase it further, and what leads to the increase or decrease in the prices?
Yes, definitely.
It will be the movement in the commodity prices, if you will see, mostly primarily due to that. And then further, if this forex is devaluing, so the cost of imports is increasing, so that is further again going to pass on to that. So that is why you see mostly, we try to maintain our GP margins.
Thank you. Aryan, I'll request you to come back for a follow-up question. I request to all the participants, kindly limit yourself to 2 questions per participant and rejoin for a follow-up. Next question comes from the line of Darshan Zaveri from Crown Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question, sir. Just wanted to harp a bit about our revenue for next year, sir. So currently you are at 86% utilization. You're saying that you can get 20% more from current capacity. So you mean that we can go up to nearly 100% utilization in current capacity? Or how do we look at it?
No, we have bought some additional machines during the year, which have increased our capacity in terms of most of the machines had the capacity. There were bottlenecks in a few processes, so that has been sorted out, which will help us increase our capacity this year.
Okay, fair enough, sir. So this for FY27, in terms of revenue, you can see maybe additional 20% growth from our current capacity, and Q4 we'll see some 10-15% revenue from our from the new CapEx, right? Is that the right way to understand, sir?
Yeah, 20%.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. And sir, just wanted to know, like, in terms of the war situation, do we see any kind of risk that, you know, like, that there will be even more risk, like, we will not be able to procure stuff properly? How, what do we see that as, sir?
See, that is very clear. See, the because of this war and all, this is happening in Middle East. Okay, so, and we are not concerned about anywhere in the Middle East other than the you know, fuel prices rising up and the Indian forex affecting us. Other than that, the when we come to the procurement of the raw materials, so we are already procuring from West African countries. So over there, the situation there is a normal situation, so we are able to procure our goods in a normal way as we have been procuring over the past years. And then at the time of shipments, yes, definitely, you know, some cost has increased, and that is the only impact which is coming. And we are seeing that all these costs and all which have increased, you know, it is somewhere or the other being passed on, that some cost is being passed on to the customers by some increase in the price, and some is passed on to the suppliers by reducing the purchase price. So we are seeing it to be average, hence we don't see that our GP to be affected.
Fair enough, sir. I just wanted to understand, like, our brand Royal Mewa, you know, it has seen tremendous increase in the first year, so any kind of ad spends more that we are going to do in that, like, that can, you know, maybe impact our margins a bit, because if to grow this brand, we'll need to, you know, invest significantly in advertisement. Or how do you look at that, sir, in terms of growth of the brand, sir?
Yeah, so, you know, we are in the process of setting up a marketing initiative, a marketing budget for this year, wherein our focus will primarily revolve around, you know, social media marketing and online marketing, because that is where we see our focus in terms of going ahead. We have been very, very focused, you know, in terms of selecting our channels, so that, you know, we don't compromise on our bottom line, as the brands that are operating in this category today are heavily VC funded. So, you know, we are competing with the players like them. So we are being selective, and we are carefully selecting the channels of positioning ourselves so that we don't compromise.
Okay, fair. So basically the EBITDA margin guidance is, you know, is accounted for by, you know, the ad spend that we're going to do, right? So,
yes. So it is a very clear approach for us that, you know, we are not going to compromise on our margins to increase our brand visibility, you know. So we, like, it should not happen that if we are selling in our brand at a particular price, but we are spending more on that, you know, to achieve those numbers. So we are not going to enter into that war. So we are being very carefully, you know, selecting our channels that where we can market our brand without compromising on our margins and leveraging our quality and quality awareness and the processing strength for creating that brand.
Okay, fair. And this is the last question from my end. So online, I think we are in Amazon and Jio, but any kind of thing about getting into quick commerce, like, you know, Blinkit, Zepto, because, you know, in terms of gifting, that can also be a good measure of place where, you know, we can be, or any kind of approach that we just look at that also, sir?
Yes, we are already talking to these, you know, platforms, and there were certain prerequisites that were to be fulfilled, which are already in the pipeline. So once those things are done, so definitely we are looking forward to getting listed on these platforms.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you, Samrita. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Varun, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes,
Varun.
Good afternoon, sir. First of all, heartily congratulations for the maiden year post IPO. So my question is regarding the margin, sir. The margin fell down from 18 to 11%. Just wanted to understand, is it purely because of currency forex thing or some supply chain issues as well?
So 18 to 11% it is related to two reasons. One is the movement of forex currency. Second, since we came up with an IPO, there were some IPO related expenses which have entered into the P&L. So that was the second contributor. And third, generally what we have seen is that the prices in the RC and the raw cash that they moved in the later part of the year, because of which we'll see H1 we had better margins as compared to H2. So all these three factors put together contributed to that.
Okay. So sir, going ahead, if the things normalizes like the geopolitical situation and the currency fluctuation thing, what is the normalized margin for our business? Like the stable normalized margin that
we expect 15 to 16% EBITDA.
Okay. And sir, in future, if such situation again persists, some geopolitical or forex thing, how are we going to mitigate ourselves, like protect our margin against that?
As we mentioned, there is the one major risk which we see from these geopolitical tensions is the more currency fluctuation and some increase in further increase in the shipping cost. So these are the two major things which we see, and we are mitigating our risk. You know, we are already talking to the banks for the hedging mechanism so that we can hedge some currency risk. And then we are already talking to the shipping lines to do some longer term contracts so that we can also hedge that some of our shipping cost if we see it going to further increase. So these are two things that we see. And we are.
Sir, one last question from my side. Sir, are we exporting the processed cashew as of now? Or is it sold completely?
No. So we exported some material, some cargoes in FY25. In FY26, we had no export. Once the capacity, the new facility is in place, then definitely we'll look at some export markets.
So sir, I was just reading about the cashew industry, and I just got to come across like Vietnam, if I'm not wrong, is the biggest exporter of processed cashew nuts. Right?
That's correct.
Yes. So are we aiming to become like the global exporter from India in this industry? Like what are our major goals behind like in the next 5-10 years?
See, it is very simple. India, we have to understand the cashew global dynamics. So India is the largest consumer of the cashew globally. And when we say largest, so single country consuming about 30 to 35% of the global cashew production. So India is a very strong consuming market for the cashew kernels. Hence, you know, India becomes a major focus for us. And then as we move forward, as you asked, what is our goal for the next 5 to 10 years, so we definitely see ourselves not only being in Indian markets, but to cater to the international markets, which are Europe and US and Middle East and China, which is currently being done by Vietnam. And as we move forward, we have good plans to expand ourselves outside India.
Thank you so much, sir. That's it from my side. All the very best.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Next question is from Nan of Rishabh, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking up my call. So I have a question on Vizianagar plant. So when it will be fully functional and when the realization will start, and along with that, the machinery which we are procuring, so are those domestically procured or those are also imported?
We look at commencing with trial productions in November or December of FY27 and commercial production from Q4 of FY27. As far as the machinery procurement goes, some machineries are coming from Vietnam, some are coming from China, and the balance around 40 to 45% is all indigenous, which are being brought from India itself.
Okay, and my second question is, on the raw material which we procure from Africa. So do we also have the raw materials from India also? But since considering that, okay, the African market is giving us the discounted price, so what is the price differential between the African market of that product per ton versus the Indian raw material price?
No, it is actually not like that, that, you know, India is at a different price or Africa is at a discounted price. So overall, India consumption, if you talk about for the cashew in terms of the raw cashew nut, it goes about to 2 to 2.2 million tons. And India only produces about 400 to 500,000 tons of raw cashew nuts. So India has a deficit for its consumption demand, hence it has to import from West Africa. Now comparing the prices of the Indian crop and the West African crop, so Indian crop prices is dominated and influenced by what is happening in West African raw cashew nuts. So it is linked to that, and we also procure from India, you know, and we are exploring and expanding our capabilities to procure much larger portion also of our production from Indian markets as well.
Okay, thank you.
You're thank right. you. Next question is from line of Mr. Venkata from Avgo. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So my question is regarding the new plant. Okay, so in your introduction call, you clearly mentioned, you know, this plant is going to be the state of art, you know, plant. Okay. How different from the existing plant to this plant, okay? There's going to be any different realizations, you know, with the new plant. That is my first question. The second question is, you mentioned, you know, with the new plant, you will expand the margins as well. But, you know, but you're still stick with, you know, that 15% EBITDA margins only, okay, in future, okay, especially financial year 27. But, you know, it is contradicting with your introduction, okay? These are my two questions, yeah.
So as we said, you know, that we are setting up a world-class automation plant over there, and you asked about what is going to be the difference. So yes, definitely there is going to be a difference in our current plant and the new plant. So the machines, I would say, would not be differentiated, because the machines in our current plant is also an upgraded and latest technology.
Participants, please stay connected. We have lost the line for Mr. Jay. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay connected while we rejoin us again back to the call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We have a line from Mr. Jayant reconnected. So please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, my line got disconnected. So I was saying, so you know, there would be a difference in the automation and the type of the processes we set up, because you know the current plant we have expanded from the smaller capacity from 7,000 ton to 18,000 tons today, and now this is a greenfield project, you know, in which one line we are setting up 100 tons. So there is a lot of processes you know, which we can we will be able to automate in this our new plant, which is not currently happening at the current facility because of space issues and the progressive expansion over there. And definitely, as we see, you know, because of all these reasons, we definitely see that, you know, we should have a better profitability and a better efficiency and better synergies going forward.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from Lana Purvasha from Grobis Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity, and a very congratulations on the maiden conference call. A major majority of my questions have been answered. I have three questions. First, are you pretty much confident on the timeline of completion of our new unit? Because a majority of our deployment is still pending.
Yes, we are quite confident now on that, because as we see, the construction is going on in a very good pace, and our structure has also already been ordered, and you know, our people also visited, that is being getting ready on time.
So definitely we don't see any delays from the construction side, and we have already ordered the machines. You know, so there are a lot of machines which have the lead time. So we have placed orders of those machines who have the lead time, and a lot of machines don't have that much lead time. So that is why we have not placed order right now. But you will see in next 2 or 3 or 4 maximum, all the orders will be placed, because some machines are, you know, only lead time with 2 months. So we don't need to place the order for those machines right now.
Understood. And for the timeline of deployment, you also mentioned about 25 crores to be deployed in the first half of next year, correct?
Ayush?
Ayush, sir, can I request you to unmute your line, please?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
You're
I
audible
hear you.
now.
Right. Yeah. So, by that we mentioned that we'll be issuing POs for 25 crores in the Q1. So payments will be done as per the PO terms for that.
And the next question is on the borrowings. We have seen around 20 crores of short-term borrowings increase. Could you give me some understanding on where have we sourced this funding from? Is it from the banks or any group companies?
No, so it is from our bank, our bankers. This is a straight working capital limit that we have with them.
Okay, and what is the rate at which we have got this funding?
This funding is at the, last year it was at the rate of about 8.4%.
Okay, and this year?
This year I think it has come down by 25 points.
Okay. And my last question is, the loans and advances have increased 5x. Could you give us some understanding on it?
You're talking about long term or short term?
Yes, long term.
So these long term loans and advances are the POs and advances that have been issued to the vendors for the new facility.
Okay, so whatever we see for the deployment of the IPO proceeds for the capex is this 10.62 crores.
Yeah, I mean, POs have been given out for about 39 crores, but out of that 39 crores, 10 crores is the advances that have been issued.
Okay, and on the short term that we see, 31.95 crores is about?
This is an advance that was issued, that was given to our suppliers in the month of February.
Okay, understood. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Aryan Bhatia from InVed Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Your audio is not clear. Can you speak through the handset, please?
Hello, I'm audible.
Sorry, your audio is still feeble. Can you speak through the handset, please?
Hello. I'm audible now?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So my question is regarding pool versus broken ratio. Currently, we are getting 660 kg realization. So with the new capacity coming up, what will be the realization increase, considering, as you said, it will be a better capacity in terms of what we currently have. And as you see, you know, the new capacity will be around 35,000 metric ton. It will be double of what is our current capacity. But the realization, the revenue side is, will be around 470 crore. But from the current capacity, 1800 metric ton, we are doing almost around 300 crores. As you said, we'll be having a 20% growth next year. So from the upcoming capacity, why is much, so much lower revenue as compared to the existing capacity?
No, so basically that was at a 70% utilization rate. That I mentioned that revenue, for FY28. Once we are at, 85%, the capacity, the revenue would definitely increase.
Got it. And so our whole versus broken ratio. And second, when we source RCM from India as compared to Africa, what is the margin difference is, if you can give us that separately?
Yeah, so our holes recovery as compared to pieces recovery is now at about 70-30, 70 being holes and 30 being pieces.
And as you said, I mentioned earlier also, there is no clear that sourcing from India or Africa, there would be directly impact in the margin. It is all about the pricing and all that, you have to buy throughout the season and from each and every region to average out our your pricing costs. So that is why, we buy from all the regions and at all the time so that we are averaging our purchase price throughout the season. So it is not a clear any indication, or clearly picked up and say we can say, okay, we are processing this, so we are getting higher margin. We are processing this, we are getting higher margins. So it is like that, because whatever we procure now also, it is not processed now. It is going to be processed after 1 month or 2 months or 3 months. So it all depends on how the prices are.
Second, if you can provide the raw material import ratio versus domestic, you can give that number. How much of the raw material we import?
For us, last year, around 6-8% was local domestic Indian crop, and the balance 93-94% was all imported.
Thank you. Thanks for the answers and best of luck.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Vishwinder Singh from Prudent Equity. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, just a follow up on the debt part. What sort of maximum debt to equity are you comfortable with going ahead, like for working capital and all?
So we look at about we are at 0.25 as of now, and we would like to be in this range.
Okay. So majority of the working capital would be from internal accruals, is that correct?
Internal accruals, and also we internal accruals will also some of our borrowings are also going to increase, and our net worth is also going to increase, and then we enjoy a credit from our suppliers.
Okay, got it. That would be all. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Shakti Panjara for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the conference call of Aspen Agro India Limited. If you have any queries, you can write to us at resource@kirinadvisors.com. Once again, thank you everyone for joining the conference call. Thank you Ayu sir, thank you Pulkit sir, thank you Nitin sir, thank you everyone.
Thank you everyone.
Thank you everyone.
Thank you all, thank you everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Kiran Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect. Thank you.